Everyone good? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage for us today, and then we're going to pray one more time, if you don't mind. All right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for adding to our community this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you would just speak to us through your word, that you would be able to penetrate the hardness of our hearts, that you would plant faith where there is none, that you would grow faith where it is little, and you would crush doubt where it remains. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this starts off with devotion. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So the first thing I feel that is good practice for us is to understand what is devotion itself. So devotion is defined as love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or a cause. Words that can be associated with devotion are faithfulness, commitment, dedication, and caring. And now there's a lot of examples in our lives that we think of when we think of devotion. I'm devoted to my job. I am devoted to my wife. And that is a reciprocal relationship. As I am devoted to her, she is devoted to me. It is kind of there is a giving and taking that's happening in that relationship. But there's also devotion to my children. And there's far more giving than there is taking. And these relationships are good. And these relationships are work. I mean, honestly, you have to put in work to your marriage. You have to put in work to your kids. You also have to be in there it takes effort. A lot of effort has to be put into these relationships because there are ups and downs in these times. And these are for the long haul. These are not once and done activities. I can't just abandon my kids. I'm in there despite how I'm feeling with them at any given moment. But we see that these are examples of good devotion. But there's also bad devotions as well. There can be habits that are positive, and there can be habits that are negative. You can have a very good diet, which is good for your health, but you can also have a very poor diet, which is going to lead to a long-term decline in health. There's also bad relationships that we can be in as well, and these are not healthy for us, yet we're still putting the same effort, and we're still in it the long haul for these people that may be considered toxic or not good or not having our best interests in mind. There's also a lot of substance issues. If you've ever seen somebody that's had any kind of problems with substance, devotion to that substance is a very strong, is very evident. You can see that immensely by the amount of effort they are willing to put in to receive or grab this thing that is basically killing them. So devotion itself is a characteristic. And if we look at 2 Peter 1:5 through 7, he says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." It's kind of a long list, but what we're seeing in this section is that it's a supplement. Devotion itself does not save us. These characteristics themselves do not save us, but there are ways that they help grow us. Like a supplement itself will not help me get stronger, but if I do the proper techniques, the supplement adds and increases the likelihood of something happened. It's like a condition conducive. It increases the likelihood of something happening. So devotion can be a good characteristic. It just depends on what we are being devoted to. And so if we look back at our verse and we see that they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, this can also be read, they devoted themselves to the fellowship, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, and they devoted themselves to prayer. This sounds like church, does it not? I mean, like really, like you're just reading this thing and you think like, you know, why didn't Luke just say they went to church? Wouldn't that just be easier to say? Well, I'm going to say that if he broke it up like this, he probably wants us, he was looking at each topic individually, and I feel like he's encouraging us to do the same thing. We are being encouraged to look at each one of these topics today. And so we're going to spend a majority of our time here, and then I think it's going to go pretty quick. You got an outline on your sermon, and it's got to even fill in the blank notes for you guys. It felt like I did a lot of effort, you know. It's pretty good. I feel pretty good about it. So, all right. So, anyway, so, sorry. All right, apostles' teaching. So, let's go to this. They were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then one must ask, what is the apostles' teaching? Well, the apostles are disciples. So, if we follow this trail down, the apostles were disciples of Jesus particularly. As a disciple, they are going to be immersed. They are going to be devoted to. They are going to be applying and learning from Jesus directly. And that is what they are going to pass on to their disciples. So if we go down, we have Jesus, then we have the apostles, and then we have every disciple besides that, and then we get down to us somewhere down at the bottom of the pyramid. So the apostles' teachings are basically Jesus' teachings. If we look at verse from John 8:31 and 32, then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Continuing in my word seems pretty strong to that Jesus passed this on to John, and John is passing this kind of stuff on to us. Continuing, John continues in verse 14, or in chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It seems pretty straightforward. So one must ask, if we are to abide in his word, if we are to continue in his word, if we are to show our love to Jesus by keeping his commandments, where might one find these commandments? The word, the Bible, right? Is that where we're at? Everybody following this train down the line? Good job, we're nailing it, okay? So, here we go. So one might find his words in the Bible. I want to start off with, like, a lot of times we look at the Bible, and we're like, this book is thick. This is hard to read. Sometimes I don't understand it. But do you realize that the book is a gift from God? God has blessed us with his word. Like, thank you. Like, that is something that it gets, I feel like we totally blow this off. We look at it and we get overwhelmed. We're a culture that wants to watch. We're a culture that wants to be, we don't want to put effort. We want, but we don't want to put in the effort to receive. And God has given us his word, and if he wanted a different way, if he felt there was a better way, he would have given it to us. He is God. He knows what's best for us. And even though you have TV on one hand and you have a Bible on the other, God's saying this is better. And the question is, do we believe that's better? Do we think that this is really a gift, or do we just kind of say, I don't want to put in the effort to this. I don't believe that God can speak to me through this because I don't understand it. But yet, God is calling us to be devoted to his word. He's given us everything we need to get through this life. And I want to point out that the devotion to the apostles' teachings is not defined here. It just says that they're devoted to it. So when you hear the word devoted to the apostles' teaching, what comes into your mind? How do you think that would play out in a daily life? Devotion to their teachings. Like, I'm going to tell you that I think devotion is more than just reading the word. Because it doesn't, if it said they read the word, they would have just put read the word. He didn't. It's devoted. It's calling out. It's more, it's knowing the commandments, but it's also applying the commandments. It's sharing the commandments. It's putting the commandments into action and applying them to the situations that we're going through at any given moment. The Bible covers all topics. Every topic that we can ever go through, there is some guidance for us, even if the guidance is just to look to God. Even if it doesn't have specific evidence of like, hey, you should do this. The answer is always to look towards God and to trust him. And that's what that word does. His word does. We did a thing in our small group a couple weeks ago. And so if you've been there, I apologize, but we're going to do that one more time. In your bulletin, it says apostles' teaching. And I would like you guys to take out a pen. This is interactive service. Sorry, got to do it. Next to the apostles' teaching, what I'd like you to write down, there should be two numbers. So I hope this is very clear. You're going to be writing down two numbers, just two numbers. Right next to it, I want you to put how many days a week you think you should be reading your Bible. You define what reading your Bible is. I want to point out that there was people that were illiterate during this time and they listened to the story. But how many days a week do you think you should be reading your Bible? And you cast it, like, well, you define that. Right next to that number, I want you to put how many days a week you're doing that. That right there is going to show you how much devotion you have towards God's word. If the disciples were living this out and they were applying God's word and they were putting effort into knowing God's word, how much effort must we be doing it? If they were right there with Jesus, they were following him. That's our call to do the same thing. It's our job to seek out and determine what his teachings are and how we're going to trust him to apply those to our lives. So that is devotion to their teachings. But the next couple things we have is fellowship and breaking of bread. And now these two things seem pretty similar, don't they? I mean, it's like we have fellowship here, we have communion. So what's the deal? But if we look at verse 46, it says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So since Luke is going to separate these two activities, we are going to be faithful to the text and we will separate these two activities. And we're going to look at fellowship as this right here. So I know very few Greek words, but one of them is koinonia. And I don't even know if I pronounced that right. But it means sharing and fellowship. It's participating. It's more than just showing up. So how do we do that here? How do we share in this service? Well, first answer is you guys showed up. Congratulations. You guys nailed the first point. Like, that is a big time. Right? You gotta be in community in order to share. You have to be around people in order to give and to receive. But if you look at the order of our bulletin, we have things like songs. We have things like prayers. We have scripture reading. And we have teaching. And, like, this is an attempt to be faithful to the apostles' teaching. That is how it's not like somebody just threw a dart and said, hey, let's throw this into the service. Like, we don't have a lot of time to get into it, but we're trying to go from the biblical understanding of what God has called us to do, and we're trying to do that here. So if God has given us this kind of service, how would you participate in the songs? What does that look like to you? How would you participate in the prayers? What about the teachings? Like, you don't have to come up here to do it. That's not what it says, but they're participating and they're sharing in these activities. I can't play guitar, but I can still participate in the song, and it doesn't matter how horrible I sing. Like, there's still ways for me to participate. He's also given us things like spiritual gifts. You guys know every single person has been given a spiritual gift, and that is not for your soul benefit. That is for the benefit of this church. We all are missing pieces, and if you look at this church and you really knew the way God knows, all those pieces are probably filled up by somebody else. Where you lack, God has given the strength in this body, and that is to glorify himself and to encourage and strengthen us. And it's, again, as we are devoted to the fellowship and we are participating and sharing, God can reveal to us where our strengths are. And that's by exploring. Like, maybe I'm not so good with kids. I don't want to do that part. But maybe I really enjoy working on something else. As you engage in different activities, God is going to reveal to you and point you and poke you into different directions to explore those gifts with him, and then you can share those gifts with others. And there's a lot of ministry needs, and there's different passions at this church, and it's our job to be able to look for those needs and also to volunteer and to explore the needs of this church. Like, he blesses us with fellowship. Again, fellowship is a gift. He blesses us with this building. He blesses us with this community to live in. He blesses us with work, and he chooses to work on us through this community. As we keep going and experiencing togetherness here, and we are participating and sharing here, God is going to form and shape us. Because my eyes are blinded to the world the way I see it, but when I'm in community with other people, God, I'm seeing the way that God is speaking to them. And it changes the perception of the way I look at the world, because I'm seeing the way that they're looking at the world. And the fellowship is happening among godly people. And so we can trust them, and we can be shaped by them. So the question then becomes, do you feel like you've been devoted to the fellowship? Do you feel like you're sharing and participating here? What would commitment and dedication look like for you if you were truly devoted to this fellowship? I'm going to tell you, we have to care because God cares about this fellowship. It's not an option. In Deuteronomy 14:2, he says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord, your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the people who are on the face of the earth." That means God has chosen us. God has placed us here. In his sovereignty, from before the world was formed, he knew all of us would be sitting in this room right now. He knows all the gifts he has given us right now, all the blessings that lay before us, and he wants us to use those blessings to glorify him and for the enjoyment of the fellowship. So if we know that this is the fellowship, how would we differ this from the breaking of bread? Like, we have communion here once a month, right? Every first Sunday, everyone's kind of here. If you're a member of the church, or if you're baptized, we encourage you to participate in that. But it's communion once a month. And so, like, communion is symbolic. And what I want to let you guys know, this may be groundbreaking to you, but Jesus' Last Supper was not a piece of cracker and half a shot of grape juice. That's not it. It's symbolic, all right? They broke bread. They had a really good meal. And that's what we're looking towards. Their communion, it has a somber aspect to it because we look at what Jesus has done for us, but we're also looking ahead to what Jesus is doing for us. And that is, like, if you look at Revelation, it's always about a great feast. And that is not, it is off one day. But at the same time, it's here right now. We participate in the fellowship right now. We can break bread right now. We can have a good meal together right now. And we can celebrate him right now. We don't have to wait for the end times. It begins now. And so, just continuing on that a little bit more, food is just a gift from God. And that is, like, food doesn't have to taste like anything. Food could be bland. It just has to be nutritious. Yet, in God's great, great mercy and fantastic design, he has made things like steak and chicken and barbecue and tacos and fajitas. And these things are fantastic. And they're not just to, like, shove in my face. They're to let me remember how good a God he is, that he created these things for our enjoyment and to point us to him. Like, he is the giver of these good gifts. And so that is what food is for. That is what communion is for. And it is a wonderful thing. Like, it is, communion is about community. It's community with God, but it's also community with each other. Look, we were hostile towards God, but those who trust in Jesus are now at peace. Romans 8:7 says the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But John 15:15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you." We went from hostile to, when our trust is in Jesus, we are now friends. Friends, that is an amazing turn. It isn't even like neutral. He's calling us in. He's showing us what he knows. He's guiding us. And if you can think about a good meal with friends, how fantastic is that situation? Like, you have great food. You have comfort, your enjoyment. There's people bringing up stories. They're laughing. There's just great joy and community happening as you're exchanging stories together. And it's adding to the meal. It's this fantastic feast at this point. And it doesn't matter where it is. It's just when you're together and you're enjoying that God's presence with his people is just an awesome, awesome thing. And we can look at a good meal, and when everything's going well, it seems like it's easy. But what about when things are low? What about when someone's going through something? Aren't those same people that were laughing with you also crying with you now? Aren't those same people that were talking with you listening? They're helping you. We're not meant to bear our burdens alone, and that's what happens when we're in community. And that communion, like, we're all going to have ups and downs throughout the week, the month, our lives. And that's what we have community for, is that we can be able to share with one another. We can be able to participate in each other's joys and in their sorrows. And we can experience that, and we can experience God through that. We were not meant to be in isolation. We are created for community. We need to know, be known by people. We need to know others. We need a place that we can trust other people, and we need to be able to confess to them and know that they're going to be giving us godly counsel. And maybe people need us to give them godly counsel. We need to be trained, and that happens within a community. So the question becomes, do you have true godly friends? I mean, are they true friends? Are they godly friends? And do you make effort and time to spend with them? Are you always blowing them off? Are you never inviting them over? Like, you cannot control people. You can't make them work. You can't make them come over. But you can always extend the invitation, and it's up to them if they want to respond. Do you choose to respond? Because it's real easy in today's day and age to stay isolated. It's very easy to think there's something better to do. But this is a gift of God that we are meant to participate in and to enjoy for His glory and for our good. Are you making quality time to spend with people? Are you devoted to communion with others? Finally, our last devotional point was they were devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer is personally talking with the all-powerful creator of the universe. I'm going to say again. Prayer is personally talking with the all-powerful creator of the universe. He has blessed us with communion with each other, and He has blessed us with communion with Him. He wants to hear from us. He knows what we're going through. He knows how to guide us, and He responds to our prayer. He wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. That is the invitation that lays before us all the time. This is a precious gift that He has given us, and He could have been far off. He could have ignored us, but He didn't. He says, I want you. I want to talk to you. I want to be involved in your life. I want you to know me just as much as I am knowing you. That is what God is offering for us. And this happens through prayer. It is one of the most powerful tools we have, and yet so often it becomes a side note for us, and we don't think about it, and we don't want to put the effort into it because maybe we get sidetracked. But prayer is not a magical thing. He doesn't just do whatever we want, but we do see prayer. God answers prayers. It happens in the Bible. It happens in this fellowship. People pray for things, and God changes situations. And that is something that only He can do. There's nobody else that can do that. Nobody else who can respond like that. And when we look at Jesus' life, in the Gospels, He is spending lots and lots of time in prayer. He's going to isolation. Like, not only does He pray in the group with His disciples, but He also goes away for isolation and He's praying. And I'm going to ask you, do you think that was quality time that He was spending with the Father? Because I'm going to say, I think so. You know, He's like, even though it's times in isolation, He's spending quality time, long time, lots of quality time with the Father. John 16:24 says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. As we watch God work, and as He gives us, He works and we see Him move, He's completing the joy in us because we get to see Him master the evilness in our lives. We get to see Him overcome the obstacles that we have. We get to see Him conquer sin with us and with those around us. And we get to celebrate Him. And that can bring great joy to us because we're reflecting on how our God is working through the act of the discipline of prayer. And you know that the Bible tells us to pray for certain things? Again, our prayer that Mr. Manis had done earlier, we're praying for different churches. We are praying for pastors. We're supposed to be praying for those that are hurting in our community and in this church specifically for their well-being. We're also supposed to be praying for our government officials, despite how we like them or not. We're supposed to pray for them so we can live peaceably in this community. It doesn't matter about political sides. We pray for the government because God calls us to. He elected those people. We are also supposed to pray for the missionaries. Did you know that? Like in Matthew 9:37 and 38, he says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. I mean, that is something that we should be really championing. Like, we should be praying for this on a regular basis. We want the gospel to spread because the gospel has changed our lives. If it has changed our lives, shouldn't we be praying for it to go to other people to help change their lives? I mean, that's something that that kind of sits on me a little bit heavy, because it's like this is happening all over the world. God is not just working in Peoria. I mean, he's working all over the world. And I cannot help a lot of those people, but I can pray for those people. And I can see it doesn't, like, just pray for him to work. Pray for him to have soft hearts. You can pray for those people that they'll be able to cling to him today, because a lot of those people have forsaken all things to go spread the word of God to people that have never heard it before. And they've left their land, their family, their jobs. They've given up everything. And what we can do is support those people, not only through financial means, but by praying for those people and just keeping them in our hearts and in our minds, and just letting God know that we want his mission, his name, to be proclaimed. Again, this is a precious gift from God, and a lot of times we undervalue it. So how is your prayer life? What do you think would be better? What would you think would change if your prayer life had increased? If your fellowship with God was more intimate? If you were able to bear your soul a little bit more, and you were able to hear from him a little bit more, a little bit better? How would your life change? What do you think would have been avoided from the last week? What would you have had maybe a little bit more strength to get through? This thing happens through prayer, and we have to be devoted to prayer. All right. So now, after we looked at our devotion, the items that they were, the disciplines that these guys were devoted to, we're going to move into verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs are being performed through the apostles. So here is their first fill in the blank. As they devoted themselves, God transformed their perception. Look, awe is a word of respect with fear and wonder. As these guys witnessed many signs and wonders being performed, they were able to appreciate God more. They saw him working. They experienced him. And it was able to change their perception of who he was. God was not working less, but as they devoted themselves, they began to notice him more. And you know, in Acts 19, Paul is healing people, and they take his handkerchief and an apron, and they go take that, and people start getting healed. I am going to tell you that Paul does not have magical mucus. He does not have magical stuff on his apron, because both of those items are used to wipe up garbage that you do not want. Yet, those items were taken. It's not magical items. It's a powerful God. And as they saw him working, they were able to see that and appreciate him more. And as they devoted themselves, their view of him grew bigger and it became more accurate. They start seeing God not as they wanted to see him, but they saw him who he really was. As he's revealing themselves, they are able to soften their hearts, and they're able to see him, and they're able to look at him and appreciate him and interact with him more. Their view of the world changed because their view of God changed. The suffering that we go through now is going to be nothing compared to what he can do and what he will do. God is an amazingly powerful, loving creator, and he has everything under control. And if we see that, it doesn't matter what I go through this week, because he has got me, and I can know that. So not only did God transform their perception, but as we look at verses 44, 45, and the back of 46, they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. Did I skip one? Sorry. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Then, going on, they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. As they devoted themselves, God transformed their hearts. Let's see the next blank. I don't know if you kind of comprehended what we just read, but they sold all their possessions and property and distributed that to everyone who has need. Who does that? Who does that? No one does that. No one does that. Like, none of us are like that, but we all wish we knew that guy. All of us want to get that, right? Like, who's the guy who's selling everything to take care of our needs? But that's what God did. As they devoted themselves, their hearts were transformed. They They had a supernatural love. They're coming together. They're hanging out. They're looking at each other and they're saying that your needs are more important than my wants. They're looking at each other and they're inviting and they're coming together. They have a supernatural unity. It doesn't matter what age they are, what gender they are. It doesn't matter race, anything. It's all based off of Christ. That unity itself transcends all other differences we can possibly have, because that bond is stronger than anything different. Even if I've got brothers and sisters on the other side of the world and we don't even speak the same language, but we got this in common. We are unified through Christ. And as they're unified, we see a supernatural generosity. They're willing to give away anything, all their possessions, and distribute it all to all who had need. And they went from house to house, and they're eating their food with joyful and sincere hearts. They're hospitable. They're inviting people in. They're going to other people's houses. Their hearts are transformed, because I know that hospitality doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. Introvertedness is not overcome easily. God has to work through that. But as you devote yourself, God can work through those things, and He'll challenge you, and He'll push you. And as the years go by, you look back and you go, wow, look at how He worked on my heart. Look at what I'm doing now, not because I'm good, but because He is good. So what implication can you think of something like this on the Great Commission? Like, if we're supposed to go and talk to people about Jesus, we're supposed to be inviting, we're supposed to go share the gospel and teach everybody what He has taught His disciples, right? This is the great call, the great commission of the end of Matthew 28. And as our hearts are transformed, we'll start caring more for the lost. There, we'll start inviting more. We'll start being able to model more. Like, you got the light of the world. Like, I'm not going to tell you you're not supposed to talk, but a light is seen. It's not heard. And so as we live our lives in the community, our lives are going to model the Great Commission to those around us. And even when we're not talking about the gospel, they're seeing the gospel. Like Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. These are not natural to us. This is what God does to our hearts. He changes us to give these. And as we go through life, He starts making these desires stronger because they're desires given by Him. These are inviting qualities. You've been around someone who's peaceful and patient and they're kind and they're good. You're drawn to that. You want to be around those people. Have you ever been around somebody who is quick-tempered and harsh? Like, who wants to be around that person? Like, that does not encourage community. That's going to shut us down. That's going to put up barriers between us. But if you're loving and caring, that's going to draw people out of their shell so that they want to come towards you. And when they come to us, they'll see Christ. So as they devoted themselves, God transformed their hearts. And finally, as they devoted themselves, God transformed their community. As we look in verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Favor is acts of kindness beyond what is due or usual. It's a goodwill. It's a blessing. As God grew their community, as they devoted themselves, so we'll go the other way around. As they devoted themselves, they started enjoying each other. They enjoyed the gifts that every person offered. And everyone's giving and taking freely. There's no hierarchy here. It's not communism. It's free will giving. And as people are going to notice that, because it's different, it stands out against today's society. And this is a blessing. This is a blessing from God, because as we devote ourselves to Him, He grows the community. We live as God has intended us. It's inviting, it's helping, it's caring, united, and loving. If you look at America right now, do you see those characteristics? Because I'll tell you that I'm sure you can find some. But I can't even watch the news because I don't know what is true and what is not true anymore. And I can see all these things being very polarizing. I don't feel like I'm getting facts. I feel like I'm trying to be persuaded. And that's happening all across the country. That's not just here. Yet, God is that uniting force. God can transform the community. It's not the government that transforms the community. It's not different causes. It's Him. He does that. And every day, God added to that community as they devoted themselves. That's an amazing thing. We added to this community today. And God bless us for with those two kids. And we are to be devoted to those kids. Like, this is not... Baptism is not just, that's it. That's not the final step. It's the first step. And now they have a lifetime of following Christ, and we are devoted to those kids is what just happened right here. They are part of this community, and we owe them all the same teachings, respect, love, care that we would give anybody else in this church. It doesn't matter how old they are. Look, those who can be faithful over little can be faithful over a lot. And if we take care of our community, it's not a magic formula, but I can see God blessing us with more. We got to take care of ourselves before we can take care of more. We have to be devoted to do our own devotion before we can devote to others. Like an airplane, it's always put your own mask on first before you put it on for the kids. That's what's got to happen here. We need to be taking care of ourselves, our own devotion. And as our devotion becomes more solid, it will start seeping into other areas of our lives. And then we can start being more devoted towards each other. So here it is. As they devoted themselves, God transformed their perception. God transformed their heart. And God transformed their community. So now we have a crucial question, is how do we become devoted ourselves? Like, I desire these things that we just talked about, and I'm hoping you desire the same thing. They seem like good, honorable, and loving things. Yet, devotion is not always easy because I get sidetracked a lot. But the answer is, if we started with devotion, we're going to end with devotion. God has proved His faithfulness to us. He has given us many good gifts that we've discussed today. Community, food, homes, jobs, families. He has proven beyond a doubt His love and care for this world. And He requires our devotion. Yet, us, in our sinful manners, have chosen to rebel God. We have thrown our devotion to things of this world, to His created things, and we put them in His place. And it has been to our detriment and the detriment of our communities. And as we continue in our sinful ways, sin has distorted our perception. It has distorted our hearts, and sin has distorted our communities. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that is what we deserve. He has made clear that He is here. He has made clear that He has been faithful. And yet, at the same time, we chose not to give Him our devotion. We gave the devotion to other things. Yet, God is not one and done. He's in it for the long haul. And He proved His devotion by sending His Son into the world. And born of a virgin, His Son was perfect in every way, fully devoted to the law, fully devoted to loving His neighbors. And then He went to the cross. For people like us. He went to the cross and suffered the punishment for people that are disloyal, for those that are hatred, that suffer hatred, those who don't love their neighbors. He suffered that on the cross. But He rose again because not even death and the sting of sin could stop Him from getting to us. That is how devoted our God is to us, that He would send His Son to die for our sins. And as we look to that, that will transform our devotion because He's already done the devotion for us. We can see how devoted He is to us every day as we look into the apostles' teaching. We can see how devoted He is as we gather in the fellowship. We can see how devoted He is as we break bread together. And we can see how devoted He is as we spend time in prayer. That is the secret to us becoming more devoted, is to look at His devotion towards us. Typically, we pray at this point in time, and I'm going to tell you, I like to do things a little bit different. There's a card in the chair in front of you, and behind you. And we are going to be taking an offering in a little bit. Now, we talked about generosity, and I think it's kind of lame to talk about generosity and then ask for money. It's not cool. But what I am going to tell you is that with this card, we can do something a little bit different. We talked about the apostles' teaching. We talked about fellowship. We talked about breaking the bread, and we talked about prayer. And what I would like you guys to do, if you feel led, is to put your name on the paper and put out which category you would like prayer about. Because I want to be more devoted to you guys. I want to show devotion, and I speak on behalf of the elder team. We want to be devoted to you. And if you guys want to take this small step of faith and say, God, I want to trust you a little bit more in one of these categories, we would love to pray for you. Because you are just taking that small step of faith on the card. And we're going to take a small step of faith, and we're going to pray for you about it. And we're going to see and trust that God will work through those things. Like, it's optional. Repentance is never forced. It's always a call. And that is what God is asking for us today. How is he speaking to you? And I would like to pray over you guys during this time. And this is not, hopefully not a time of quietness, but a time of wrestling and a bunch of clicking of pens. Because if that's the case, like, this is the best offering we can offer God right now. He doesn't want our money. He wants our hearts. And as we turn towards him and trust him, we're doing that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time that you've given us to spend together. Lord, you are an amazing God. You have blessed us with many gifts. And Lord, so many times we take those gifts for granted, or we want those gifts instead of you. We put those gifts in your place, Lord, and they're just creative. They don't satisfy. Even though we eat delicious food, we're hungry again. Even though we want different substances, Lord, they're given to you for certain medical applications or certain different practices. Yet at the same time, Lord, we abuse the creation that you've given us. We enter relationships, Lord, that we know are bad. Yet at the same time, we become devoted to those people, Lord, and we don't trust you in those situations. We trust in the other things, Lord, and we just ask for your mercy again. We ask for maybe your mercy for the first time, that we'd be able to turn towards you, Lord, and that we'd be able to see what Jesus has done for us. That we'd be able to see that even though we live sinful lives, Lord, you are fully devoted to us, and that you speak to us, that you chose to speak to us, and you chose through the apostles' teachings and through fellowship and through breaking of bread and through prayer, Lord. We just ask that you would be able to be glorified in those things, and that we would take the steps to trust you today, that we would be able to experience you in new ways. We want you to transform our perception, God. We want you to transform our hearts, and we want you to transform our community. Let that start today. Let it start now. Empower us with faith and the strength that only your Son can give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.